Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" This morning I would like to talk about our view of the Word of God. I would like for us to examine ourselves and our relationship with the Word of God. James 1, excuse me, I think this is turned off. James 1, 22 through 25 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word," catch that phrase, "deceiving your own selves, my soul be on your guard. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Well, actually, I'll just read that. You can just listen. I think sometimes I do better just listening than reading along. Romans 1, 21 through 25 says, "Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Verse 23 says, "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man." In the beginning, God created man in His image. Let us not return the favor. That quote has been attributed to a number of people, that a form of that quote. God made man in His image, and man has been trying to return the favor ever since. I decide who God is and what He is like, and from that day on, I work on conforming Him to my idea of what He is like. I'd like for us to think today about what controls me, what affects me. And we all are controlled by something. It may be different things on different days or different levels at varying degrees. But that something may change from day to day or even minute to minute. But there are always those things that affect us. Daniel purposed in his heart. I asked the youth class this morning, "What is your purpose?" And I don't mean what's your meaning, what were you designed for? What have you purposed in your heart? Whether it's our appetite, our mood, our conscience, sense of duty, love for God, lack of love for God, love for man, love of self, desire to be accepted, whatever. We are controlled by different things. We can be controlled by a love for God. We can be controlled by a love for mankind. We can be controlled by our desire to bring God glory in everything I do. We can be controlled by our desire to be accepted by the masses. I often think of John Schmidt and his little song. I don't think he wrote it. I believe it's a lot older song than that, but it says, I love to be loved and I hate to be hated. I like to be liked, at least tolerated. And that affects the things I say and do. I've said this before, but I think it bears repeating. We can go into the 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. The 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan, they are all listed in Scripture. All of the names are there. Almost everyone here could name Joshua and Caleb. Almost no one here could name the other 10. On that day, they were the most unpopular 2 men in the whole camp of Israel. They were the only 2 who stood for the right and for God. Everyone else was popular that day. Everyone else went with the flow. Everyone else just fit in. God honored those 2 men. Today's lesson was about Daniel. And later it's about, it talks about the 4 men. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I believe there were 70 men who were taken into captivity that day. Is that number right? Or at that time, there were 70 men who were chosen. 66 of those men took the easy route. 66 of those men said, yes, God said this, but in this situation, I'm going to fudge. In this situation, I think it's okay to just do what we're being told to do. We cannot name any of those other 66 men. We all know the names of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Probably those 4 are the only ones who are in heaven at this time. They made a choice. The Word of God shaped them, rather than them taking God and conforming Him to their image of Him. We are all making decisions every day. We are all making decisions that affect us spiritually every day. Many of us are making decisions, good or bad, that affect our family's spiritual health every day. You make decisions every day that affect your own spiritual health. What do you go by? What controls you? Psalm 119. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had that up there. James 1. Psalm 119. It's not working, James. There we go. Wherewithal, Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Most of us have heard this verse. Most of us have heard it often. But in hearing this verse mentioned from time to time, and hearing how it's read and how we use it, I think we often skip over the words, thereto according. We just say, by taking heed to your word. He is saying, how will a young man cleanse his way? By looking at it, by taking heed thereto, by looking at his life according to your word. Does the word of God form you? Does it shape you? Does it change you? Does it show you who you are? Or do you know who you are and read the Scripture through such a filter that when God tries to speak to you, you say, well, I know that isn't talking about me. I'm a Christian. Do you read the Scripture knowing that you are all right? And anything that has contributed to sin or carnality can therefore not apply to you. Last Saturday, I was mowing. I had my earbuds in. I was listening to Scripture. And I heard Psalm 50, 16 and 17. The verses leading up to this, God says to Israel and to my chosen people, this is what I say. I'm not upset with you because of the lack of sacrifices. You're not doing the sacrifices like you should, but I own the cattle. The entire earth is mine. Are you going to really please me with some more cattle? If I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. If I were thirsty, I wouldn't ask you for a drink. I am all sufficient. The thing that I'm upset with you for is that you have not given me the sacrifice of praise and you have not kept your vows. And then it says, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. And I thought, you know what I do? The second he says, but unto the wicked God saith, I tune him out. That's not for me. I'm the chosen. I am a Christian. I am right. The things that apply to the wicked don't apply to me. But unto the wicked God saith, and skipping down to 17, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. And I thought, what if we take that back? Take that and work from the back forward. And let the God speak, let the word of God speak to me. And it says, if you hate instruction, you are a wicked person. Do I love instruction? Do I like to be told? Do I like to be informed where I am wrong? Do I like to be informed where I need to grow? If not, I am a wicked person. But when we hear, unto the wicked God saith, we kind of think, okay, he's speaking to them. And then when it says something about the righteous, that will be for me. Let's test this a little bit. Turn to Psalm 119. We're going to read the first 16 verses. And I'm not going to comment much on these verses. But we're going to just go through this and use this as a little bit as a practice. As an exercise, we're going to see some things that the godly do. We'll notice in the first 8 verses, he admits to not being where he'd like to be. So we're not talking about sinless perfection. We're not talking about doing everything right all the time. But in the last 8, he seems to have gained some ground. But through it all, especially notice his heart's desire and the longing to grow in the Lord. And in every line we want to look in the mirror. What is this showing me about me? What is God telling me about my heart? What do I need to change? Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Verse 2 there, we read that. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. That's me, praise the Lord, that seek him with the whole heart. Well, next verse. Do you seek the Lord with your whole heart? And in case you're wondering, I had to spend some time on my knees in repentance before I could bring this message today. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. And then we switch a little bit. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, by looking at it according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O God, have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Does that sound like you? Does it sound like me? At work, have you declared the judgments of the Lord? And that doesn't mean standing on a pedestal and saying, thou shalt not. But has God's word directed your conversation at work? I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. If I came to church and I had a stack of bills, cash, there would probably be a lot of, it'd be said in a joking way, you want to give me some? Can I have some of that? Where'd you get that? We all want a piece of that. If I came to work and, or came to church and said, you know, the Lord just showed me something this week, would you say, how do you learn? What were you doing when the Lord showed you? How can I get that revelation? How can I get closer to God? I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. There's enough right here that I could probably just quit and go home, and you'd have enough to ponder for a while. I'll simply say, let God speak to you. Now we're going to do another one. Psalm 1. Verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, which would infer that he walks in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight should be in the law of the Lord. And in his law should he meditate day and night. This says simply, the godly man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Now the word says that the godly man delights in the law of God. He says the godly man meditates on his law. We read that and say, you know, I should be more like that. Maybe someday. When I have more time. At a convenient season. I have a quote here from Karl Barth, and I have no idea who he is. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, there can and should be no non-theologians. In the Church of Jesus Christ, there can be no non-theologians. A theologian, I see some of you looking at me a little bit funny. What's that? A theologian is a person versed in or engaged in the study of theology. So what is theology? Theology, the study of the nature of God and religious truth, rational inquiry into religious questions. A non-theologian would be someone who does not study the nature of God and religious truth. A person not versed in or engaged in the study of theology. That was a quote from a man that's not scripture. But think about it. In the Church of Jesus Christ, put it in our language, in the Church of Jesus Christ, there can be no one who is not engaged in the study of the nature of God. How about this one? How often have you heard or maybe said something like this? I know I should witness more. Although I've heard someone, I've been told that that's just for those with the gift. That's another subject for another day, but I strongly disagree with that. I know I should witness more, but I just don't know what to say. Or maybe you wonder why you never seem to have a testimony to share with someone. Or maybe you rarely have a testimony to share. I'd like for us to do a little bit of math, where we'll start with the answer, maybe scientific inquiry. Inquiry, is that the right way to say it? And then go looking for the equation. We're going to start with the answer and then look for the formula. Here's the answer we're looking for. How do we get there? 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Okay, the Word says, I am to be ready always to give an answer. How can I get to that point? If we go to Luke 6:45, it says, this is Jesus talking, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Okay, so I have to have it in my heart in order to get it out. How is that going to happen? By going right back to the verse we just read and thought, maybe someday. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. You see how we treat the Word of God as though it were something to fit into the cracks of our lives? If and when we can find time for it, rather than it being what our lives are built around and on. My life must conform to His Word, not the other way around. Now I want to be careful here. The written Word of God, the Bible, is not to be our life's focus. The incarnate Word, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, God made flesh, is to be our focus. But the written Word, the Bible, illuminated and made alive by the Holy Spirit, is what God has chosen to use to lead us to Himself and instruct us in how to accurately see and know Him. Jesus was the truest and best example of God the Father that the world has ever known. The Bible tells us what Jesus was like and what it means to follow Him. John 5, we see this illustrated a little bit. This is Jesus talking again. He's talking to the disciples here. To the Pharisees. And ye have not his word, John 5, 38 through 44. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures. Okay, back up there. Ye have not his word abiding in you. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. The scriptures are not what give us eternal life. They testify of one who does. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? I want to be very clear. The Bible does not bring salvation. You can memorize the whole thing and not be saved. The Pharisees knew the law inside and out, and they had no love for God and were therefore lost. The Scriptures only reveal Christ, God, the Spirit. The Scriptures only reveal the truth to us, only reveal salvation to us. The Scriptures are not our salvation. However, they are our map. They are how we know the way. Going back to Luke 6:46, where he says, "Of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaketh." Do you believe that? How often have you said or heard something like this? He doesn't talk about it much, but when he does, or when I do, you can tell he's sincere. The demons believe and tremble. I would suppose the demons have the scriptures memorized. The demons do not love God. Can you say that you have him in abundance and yet rarely talk about him? Can you rarely talk about him and yet love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Can you be content to not love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and have been converted? Can you not have been truly converted and have been saved? And can you be not saved and not go to hell? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We speak about the things that we love. When we have been converted, we love the Father. This is for real people. We sit here and we read the scripture and we say, that was nice, and we go on our way. We wipe the crumbs off our face, or not, and we leave. Because that's for the ungodly. I'm not an ungodly person. That's for the wicked. I'm not a wicked person. That's for the carnal. I'm not carnal. I gave my life to the Lord. And we don't let the Spirit and the Word of God speak to our hearts and change our point of view. I shouldn't say we don't. We need to be careful that we do. What did I do there? Turn it off? I didn't mean to go to the next screen, so yeah, there, thank you. I'm going to name a bunch of names this morning. None of these are inferring anything. I'm giving you illustrations. I want you to think about it. I spent some time thinking and writing. If I were to ask Howard just about any question I can think of having to do with John Deere lawn tractors or steel chainsaws, he could answer just about any question I might have. For the last 30 years or so, he has immersed himself in manuals, shop classes, and on-the-job experience until he has become a very part. It has become a very part of who he is. You could ask Menno about duck and goose hunting, and he would have a lot of insight and expertise he could share on the subject. I would guess that if you were to go into his house, you might find a goose hunting magazine or two laying around. It's what he loves. I remember seeing Steve Yoder in his camper while we were camping with a whole bunch of cut sheets with all kinds of lists of numbers and sizes and lengths of boards and camper models that he was going to be working on when he started his new job running the chop saw at Cedar Creek. He wanted that job and he wanted to succeed at it. And a little thing like a camping trip wasn't going to keep him from it. You could ask Leon or Levon about farming, or Mark about farming or raising chickens, or Nelson about farming or chickens or construction or Corban. They would all have a lot to say about the subjects. It's what they do. You could ask Raymond about managing your land for whitetails. He would have a lot of tips he could share that he's learned in the last several years. Or about RC planes, and he could share a fair amount about that. You could ask Jonathan about classic car exhaust systems, or Marcus how to move a house. You could ask Phil about guns or snakes or spiders or roaches and have a lengthy discussion. Steve could tell you a lot about bass fishing and bow hunting. Carl could mow your yard in a hurry and do a good job at the same time. Or he could guide you to an elk if you can handle the terrain and altitude. Just a side note, don't ask him to choose your arrow tips for you. Sheldon can tell you much about bug control. Lynn can make you a donut. Harley can tell you a lot about saddle horses and cattle. I can name almost anyone. And you, if you know them well at all, can associate them with something rather quickly. All of these names I mentioned, I believe it would be safe to say, came by what they are known for through work, desire, and determination. Some of the things I mentioned make money. They all take time. Many of them cost money. And I think it would be fair to say that most of them were things that we have chosen to immerse ourselves in, learn about, and become better at. In writing all this out, it also occurred to me, I would guess, and this is completely a guess, that a high percentage of those I mentioned also subscribe to a publication of some sort that has to do with that particular subject. I don't say any of this to fault anyone for what they're involved in. That's not my point at all. My point is we get good at what we love. Daryl and Laura we're at our house here a while back. And for those of you who know them, they have a southern accent that I very much enjoy listening to. And I had given Scott and Daryl a book a while back. And as they were leaving, I said, oh, by the way, did you get a chance to read that? Or did you read that book? And he said, no, I guess I just ain't had time yet. And Laura says, yeah. Put a sport aviation magazine cover on it, he'll get to it. There are not very many fur fishing game articles that I have not read in the last, well, I've been getting them, I think, ever since we got married, which is 17 years. Are you immersing yourself in the Word? Is it your constant reference in life? I know we have the Spirit to guide us, but when Jesus was getting ready to leave, He said in John chapter 14, 23 through 28, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, I love that where he says, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, I still remember the day that I caught that, or that caught me, however you want to say it, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. There again, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. We can right away flip that and say, okay, well, I love him, so I keep my sayings. That's not how we read this. We read it, if I don't keep his sayings, I don't love him. Let the word shape me. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I am convinced that the Spirit of God will never lead us contrary to the Word He has written to us. While we need to be careful, this can go both ways. We need to be careful not to say that since we have the Bible, we don't need the Spirit. That can happen too. I don't need the Spirit, I have the Word of God. I go by the Word of God. But we also need to be careful. I'm afraid we sometimes show by our actions that we think the Spirit can and will guide us without the Word. And it's very, very dangerous. You ask just about any Mormon, how do you know that your religion is right? And he will say, you go by yourself and you pray and God will give you a witness. God will confirm it to you. It's all based on feelings. We cannot trust our feelings. Men, do you know what the Scripture says about being a godly husband? Women, have you read up on how to be a wife who pleases the Lord and her husband? How many of you that are parents have truly searched the Scriptures and sought the Lord on what to allow in your home? What kind of places to go? How to train and discipline and nurture children? Or what courtship should look like, rather than just going with the flow and looking around at what is acceptable. I think sometimes I hear a lot more about knowing your child's personality type and birth order and a host of other things that God forgot to mention in His book. I'm not saying that we don't investigate. I'm not saying that we don't learn from other sources as well as Scripture. But it seems like sometimes I hear more about that than I do about searching the Scriptures about how to give a child a safe place to grow and learn and mature according to what God Himself has given us. Young people, have you searched the Scripture to see what God says a godly young person is like? Do you realize that marriage is to be a lot more about modeling and promoting Christ's kingdom and becoming more like Him than it is about living happily ever after? Psalm 1, 2, speaking of the godly man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. James 1:25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. I trust you've been challenged this morning. This message was a bit difficult for me because it showed me some very real shortcomings in my own life. I'm not involved in social media. And maybe I've hung my hat on that a little bit. Because, to be frank, it often is simply a time waster. I'll share a little bit, some more of my thoughts this week. I remember clearly when we as men, 20 years ago, met. Probably wasn't 20 years ago, but it was a while ago, to discuss this thing called the internet and what we're going to do with it. We said in the meeting, we'll have it for work, we'll have it for necessary things. We will have movies for entertainment purposes, not for entertainment purposes. We will have movies for education and for teaching. I remember the comment being made as we left that room, and it was said in jest, and if you remember saying this or if you remember who it was, I'm not trying to pick on anyone. But it was completely said in jest. The comment was made, I wonder if a hunting video could be called educational. And it was said in a way as in, no, that's not going to, of course not. And I say all that to say this, we have never, and I'm not saying, what I'm saying is look how far we've come. And the whole reason we didn't want to use it for entertainment was because of the huge time waster that it is. And not only that, your mind goes into neutral or reverse in many, many, many situations like that. My challenge to you this morning is, what are you doing with your time? It is virtually impossible, and I'm naming things that I have had to repent of, okay? It's not, I've got this together and you don't. It is virtually impossible to sit and watch a football game and meditate on the law of the Lord at the same time. It is virtually impossible to hold sports heroes hold athletes at the level that we do and not worship the creature rather than the created, than the creator. It is virtually impossible to spend an hour on Facebook or looking at the Tigers score, which is what I will do, watch all the highlights, maybe end up on YouTube, not looking at bad things. I can honestly say that has not been a problem. Praise God. The next thing I know, I've invested an hour watching lions chase hyenas. And the devil doesn't care if I look at that. I'm not reading the Word, and I'm not meditating on it, and I'm not praying for people. And we live life like we're on a big playground instead of a battleground. I've had a few things happen to me this week, or experiences, conversations, etc. God has really shown me the seriousness of the battle that we're in. The devil is as a roaring lion, and he goes around seeking whom he can devour, and we pretend he's not there. We've got other things to do. I don't want to leave you all with a guilt trip. I want to encourage you. Make choices. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And another verse that I've thought some about is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We say, I'll have my treasure and make sure I keep my heart with God. He says, the Word says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Let's stand for prayer. I'm going to give you... Go ahead, stand up. If anyone has anything they'd like to share, maybe you would like to recommit your time, your resources. You want to be committed to letting God speak to you and shape you rather than you shaping Him. I'll just give you time. If you'd like to share, go ahead. If you'd like to come forward, you can do that. Mind the Spirit this morning. Let's just have some quiet time here. Lord, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You are a God of mercy. We thank You, Lord, that You are a God who extends mercy to us. Lord, we've all failed in so many ways. I pray for grace. I pray for strength. I pray that You just give us the courage to make hard choices. Lord, if that means standing alone, if that means swimming upstream, however you want to say it, help us, Lord, to be willing to do that. We bless You. I pray Your blessing on each one here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.